Welcome, everybody. This is Brian Kaplowitz. I'm here with Annie Jennings and Stacy. Sorry, I don't know your last name, Stacy. Annie has been doing teleseminars with me. Oh my gosh, it's been almost 20 years now. Mm-hmm. She knows PR. If you are new to Speaker Match, Annie is somebody that I definitely want to be sure that you get to know. She's going to be doing a series of these teleseminars with us on a very regular basis. And I am actually taking a back seat when Annie does these things. So I'm going to mute myself. She and Stacy have got a rhythm going. They know how to do this. They know their stuff. I'm going to let them teach you about the PR things you need to know right now. Annie, take it away.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our teleseminar today and shout out to Brian Kaplowitz at Speaker Match for sponsoring this event. Speaker Match is the most powerful place you can go to begin your speaking career or further your career. So thank you so much, Brian, and take it away, Stacy.
And I'm Stacy Amaral Kaufman. I'm radio director for Annie Jennings PR. Of course, you know, with us is the Annie Jennings. You just heard her. She's a highly respected and accomplished national publicist who creates meaningful and valuable publicity strategies that help her clients be heard in the world. Annie offers her famous number one radio talk show interview campaign that comes with free unlimited media training, a performance guarantee, and bookings on the major high listenership radio shows that include the nationally syndicated networks that help share your message coast to coast. Performance publicity programs are offered for television bookings, prestigious print, and influential online media placements. So welcome back in, Annie.
Thank you, Stacy, for a wonderful intro. I wanted to let you know that the first question clients ask me when they contact our firm is how they can become a big brand. How can they build up their speaking careers? That's a great question, and we do know the answer. Now that I know what they want when they first contact our firm, I can then review the rest of their information during the call with that deliverable in mind. The idea is to match the goals of the client with the PR services offered so the client reaches their deliverables. Building a strong brand certainly involves a multi-pronged approach, for sure. But the good news is this. You only have to do one thing a day. So if you're doing at least one thing a day to improve your brand, either in its power or visibility, you are doing good for yourself. Because you know what? Over time, these things that you do every day add up. And remember, your competitors don't keep up with you. We'd like to think they were. You know, everybody was keeping up with everything, but they're not. Not enough hours in the day for everyone to do everything. Not everyone is going to have the strategy that we're going to discuss today and in future teleseminars. So you're going to definitely have the advantage by following these teleseminars, because we're going to tell you what actually works out there in the world. We build experts here. We have thousands of clients. I mean, thousands of clients, and we started counting. Stacy, we actually started counting our clients to see how many media placements we actually got over time. And we stopped at 25,000, and we were just about halfway through. And we said, okay, that's plenty. I can't count anymore. My head hurts, right? So just know that we've built a lot of experts over time. And the important thing is this. Remember this. And one thing, Brian, you will definitely agree with this. Time flies. Oh, my gosh. Did you hear his intro? I've been working with Brian from day one all the way up until this point. Time flies. So the time is going to pass anyway. So why not have it work for you? Be a big brand over time. It does take time. If you have millions of dollars and you can suddenly advertise on football games, wherever, sure, you can become a new brand on the scene overnight. But it's not the case for the rest of us that are working with normal amounts of money, right? So the thing is know that consistency over time will create the very big brand for you, knowing the right things to do. Now, I'm going to suggest you take Fridays off. Yay! Suddenly you all love me. Because, right, the reason to take one day off a week, okay? Because your world's going to fly by anyway. And that one day off is going to give you time for reflection and refreshing and invigoration. And you're going to be able to come up with fresh ideas for yourself as well. All right. So the idea is be good to yourself. It's one of the brand. It's one of the brand identifiers in terms of our clients and how they become big brands. They also take care of themselves. It's very interesting. So now in this podcast, we're going to talk about how our hottest brands got there and how they stay that way consistently over time. So Stacey, big question for you. First of all, how does a brand collect dust?
That is a big question. And that is one of the things that all of our clients, all the big brands, and you see them out in the world, that they don't let the brand just sit there. A brand will collect dust when it's not alive in the world, when it's not creating energy and interest around itself. And you'll know this because you just aren't reaching your marketing goals like you used to. For instance, booking new speaking engagements every month or signing new clients that you've determined to be beneficial to your business, maybe seeing website traffic increase or your social media communities grow. If you aren't meeting those goals, either your goals are not reasonable, you're setting them too high for yourself so you can't really reach them and see yourself grow, or your brand is just sitting there collecting that dust and ultimately could be failing you. So you have to figure out what that problem is. Why is your brand collecting that dust? And to find this out, you should evaluate if your services are still important, if they're still relevant to your clients, and if you're still the best kid on the block for a certain audience. Could other speakers or experts in the industry have moved into your space? These are all things that could be knocking your brand from the top. So Annie, I know you have some basics that you need to have in place to avoid your brand collecting dust.
You know, just a couple of basics here, because these are the fundamentals of a good brand, and this might sound like you've heard it before, but the first things first, your website, your face to the world, to the online world, should reflect the current looks and trends. So does that mean a makeover? Yes, but you don't have to spend a lot of money, and I'm going to tell you how shortly. It's worth it to update it, because you're going to be evaluated. A first impression is going to take place when, let's say, you're going for a speaker event and they want to now evaluate the performance of your performance and your social identity and everything about you. It's their due diligence. They're going to go to your website. So it's worth it to update it so that you give a very good first impression, one that can compete with others who have already done this in your field. Once you know, you won't be mistaken for a has-been, all right? And you know what? Things change so fast. So a website is always in motion, should always be growing, always be improving. The thing is to have a clear path to how someone can become a client or how someone can book you. So this happened to me just the other day. I was calling a company, and I just wanted to cancel a quick appointment, you know, and the recording that came on, no one answered, was a young, very baby-style voice. So I thought, oh, interesting. I'm always evaluating. Believe me, I'm marketing everywhere I go, or judging marketing everywhere I go, telling me to hold while they try to connect my call. Now, I thought the word try was interesting because you either can or you can't. So I had to laugh at that messaging. The voice came back on and said, you know, she had failed in her ability to connect me. She was unable to connect me. And this was during business hours, of course, and for me to leave a message. And I had to laugh because either they're new and dedicated and they just don't understand, you know, what makes businesses go these days in terms of customer service, or they really don't know what they're doing. You know, so I don't know. Am I going to hire them? I don't think so, because I don't want to hire people who don't know what they're doing, but I don't want to hire people who are too slick and too savvy either, that are designed to take advantage of you. So there's that middle ground where you're hiring honest people with integrity who guarantee their deliverables. And that's the type of person you are looking to work with, and that's the type of person you are actually looking to be as well. The owner will never know that that happened because they weren't the ones calling in. I was the customer calling in. So an important thing to know is what's happening on the front lines of your business. So that's just sort of your customer service end and your website end. So it's important to just go back to the website initially, because the first impression should be one of competence, authority, and experience. That's it. And don't let anyone put, Google Ads on your site. Like, why do people still do this? They think they're an affiliate for Google. You get 2 cents. I don't even know if that's all you get. I don't know. But your site should never be compromised from its original intent. Your site is not an affiliate site for another organization, so do not allow ads. And I'm still seeing them up there on sites. Why would you want anyone to click on anyone else's link and go off your site? But why also advertise that you're in it for 2 cents? You know, it kind of doesn't sound like you're very successful at that point. So you don't want to ever show any weak points that you may have that you're looking for Google Ads for income. All right, so the viewer is immediately convinced that you are not the one for the job. They will certainly move on. So now here's how to upgrade your site very quickly without spending a lot of money. Is simply find a site that you do like. Choose a designer with a history of delivering sites like the one you like and want to get to work for you. So you'll be able to show them the site, ask them straight out if they have experience in creating this style site. You want to listen to the answer to see if you can pick up any hesitation. And then if they're, no, we build this is our site, this is the type of site we can build in here, take a look at three or four we've done that are similar. Very good. So, Stacey, let's say if they have not been consistent over time, which is forgivable, mm-hmm. and it happens. It's not going to happen anymore, right? But so how do you reinvigorate your brand?
Well, Annie, that is something that can be done pretty quickly, just like you were talking about freshening up your website, that can be done with a new site overnight, within a week. That can all be done fairly quickly. So you're doing that, and you want to get active online. Create a diversified social media strategy that supports your business growth and development goal. Be sure to always tag or mention others on on Twitter, their handles, their business handles, to increase retweets, brand awareness, and authority. And you'll want to write up a great message, a great post. For example, if you were on a radio talk show, which, you know, that is a definite way to get active too and reinvigorate your brand, is getting back into the media if you haven't been there for a while. So if you're on the radio talk show, you're on TV, or you have a link, you have written an article, you've got a byline, any of those wonderful things, those media assets, you want to let everybody know about it. So you would tweet something like this, you know, thanks to @host, let's say it's Henry the Motivator, for a terrific interview. Henry asked great questions on how to create your best self. And then you've got that link to the interview, possibly a picture of the radio show logo, some of the big brands that's associated with it. So if it's up on your site as well, the audio, the interview, if it's available, you want to have that link to your site. This can drive up your website visitor numbers, adding power to your online authority, which is an important component of brand building. You want the search engines to have the proof they need to return your site, because you are an influencer. And if you're moving and shaking and you're up there and you're consistent over time and you're constantly updating, that is what's going to happen. Again, over time, eventually with enough online action in the right places, Google should start returning your site as a top search result. And of course, you want this. If Google says you are good, that's proof you have proven to them that you, well, are good, and they are tough, as they run a lot of algorithms to return the most relevant information. But you want to use more than one strategy. In our experience, our most successful brands really mix it up, with some posts leveraging their media, like we just talked about, some are sharing tips, some are asking and answering questions, and some promoting what the company stands for, just to remind everyone as well. But the key is to be consistent. Annie, what's the one thing the authors who have followed us for a very long time say when you talk with them?
Well, Stacey, that's a great question, because this is actually kind of funny, you know? This is what mm-hmm. they say to me. They say, you're consistent over time. They said, the one thing we can always count on is you're going to be there for us. And I have to laugh about that, but it's true. I'm consistent over time. I never change. Like somebody will say, okay, so what's new? And it's really nothing. Nothing's new except we're better every day. So my idea of a good time is a new day happening, but us just getting better at what we do. So I think that's interesting. So I'm consistent over time. My goal is to allow authors access to the media, not to keep them out of the media by pricing too high. I know a firm in New York City that charges $25,000 to walk in the door. I mean, is that designed to allow your voices to be heard and allow you to stand a chance in building up a big brand? No, it really doesn't. So we're the opposite of that. I stand for authors. I've done over 500 speaking events at this point, and I always ask media companies to think about what's the needs of their clients more. What is it you need to serve to your clients that allow them to be better at what they do, to allow them to get their voices out there to create a better world? So I like that. So they admire my consistency. So I find that kind of funny. But to me, it's simply we still do the 3 hours of marketing every morning, and I give myself Fridays off, I got to say. But you can always count on that I'll be there for you, and that's what they say. They say, I know you'll always be there for me. So in any industry, there are a lot of pop-ups, we call them. In my industry, pop-up publicists, lots of startups. These firms may not be your best investment, so it's best to avoid them. If your brand is always out there, once a client is ready to hire someone like you, you've already jumped through one of their qualifying hoops in building confidence. Only the strong brands are consistent. Weak brands lose their enthusiasm and eventually don't even bother anymore, and many go out of business. Now think about it. Is that the kind of impression you want to make? No, of course not. You want to make the impression of a strong brand is a commitment, consistency over time. This impression is created by always updating, keeping everything vital and living and moving and action-oriented. And this is going to include your blog. Remember when blogs were all the new rage? Well, yeah. Now, if you have an old blog on your site, it's going to be noticed. Noticed by the people who are evaluating you on whether or not they do want to hire you for the big speaking event, the big consulting opportunity, or any other opportunities coming your way. So you can't let your blog go updated, and you can't let your social platforms go unattended. So if you're going to have these mediums as part of your marketing optimization wheel, which we'll get to later about how to build this optimization wheel, you definitely have to stay current with that. So you don't want to be this kind of brand, you know, that's slowing down, getting old, is no longer able to hyper-compete with the others in their industry. You want to buy an impression of life, of thriving, of this firm being on the cutting edge of everything good and powerful. And yeah, you're willing to put your money down, you know, that's for sure. So Stacey, you know, another important thing happens is there's a lot of newcomers coming into the space. Mm-hmm. And always coming into any space they want. But they often lack the business savvy to be able to open a company and keep it moving and keep it thriving and building a significant brand over time. However, they do show up sometimes in force. So what do you do if you notice a competitor that looks like they're going to be around for a while moving into your space?
Well, first thing is good for identifying your competitors. You should be looking and seeing what's going on in your industry. But you want to remember, here's the first thing. There is room for more than one person or firm at the top, right? Especially when you accept that you have your own area of expertise, your brand, what you do in your industry. You have your area of expertise. Others may be similar, but they're probably also different. So first, you're going to see how you overlap with the competitor so you know. And then what you do is you up your action in marketing and social media in the areas where you are stronger, in your strength. Mm-hmm. We stay in our lane. We talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. So I know that a lot of people find it really difficult to look at competitors, especially if you know that you are better. You're more relevant. You're more qualified. But you have to look at them. Don't keep your blinders on. Look so you know what they're doing. And of course, we're not talking about doing what they're doing. You don't want to do that because you always have to be authentic to yourself. But if you know people are moving into your space, now is the time to amp up the action around your brand. Remember, don't let the brand collect dust. We don't want that. Get out the pledge. There's lots of things that you can do to amp up that action, right? So, Annie, I know we have some case studies. You know, we have a case study for everyone on the line because we have clients that have worked with us for many, many years.
Yes, exactly. So here's a case study for you. So as Stacey just mentioned, we have clients who have worked with us for many, many years, in some cases 15 to 20 years. And why not? It costs nothing for us to watch the media for you for good opportunities, as we are a performance-based organization. This is why working with a firm that is performance-based is good for you. You get first dibs on media opportunities that are right for you in terms of breaking news commentary, if you're qualified for that subject matter, and then you are all set up and ready to go already. It's like, click, you're booked. Waiting for something to happen is behind the curve, and you'll never get booked because you have to be evaluated, vetted. You know, the media goes through a lot of background checks to be sure that the experts they put in on the air are worthy to be on the air, which is why people work with us, the media, because they know that by the time the expert does get to them, they've been thoroughly vetted and media trained, that's for sure. It's important to be all set up and ready to go. That's why a performance-based PR firm is nice, because you're not paying for time. Not everything is booked in 3 months with 3 months retainers, that's for sure. We've noticed the real key now to becoming a strong brand over time is consistency over time. So if you are working with a PR firm to keep you out in the media, and being in the media is one of the strongest things you can do to build your brand, because that's where the people who hire you hang out. All right? They hire you, they hang out at these high levels of media, and when your name is associated with those high levels of media, you are immediately moved to the top of the list. The performance piece is spectacular because you can be in it, but you don't have to pay to be in it until we secure a deliverable for you that's meaningful and valuable for you, but yet we're looking all the time. It's fun. You know, Brian, I don't know if you know this, but everybody's been with me for 15 to 20 years. They're all still here. All the people who helped build this company are still working with this company because it's fun. It's fun to go out every day, you know, looking for how we can help our clients build better brands. And we can get a lot of satisfaction in helping you reach your goals. The longer you work with a publicist, a real publicist, that is, not an intern or someone new, they very much know you. They're acutely aware of trends in your subject matter and in the language surrounding your world. The publicist knows what's been done, what's been overdone, what's been pitched over and over and before, and it's actually old news. And they know where the new opportunities are, and that's key. A competitor is moving into your space. You have to outcompete them. Because one of the fastest ways to become a top expert in your field is by being seen in the media, all types of the biggest media, big brand media in the country, as the top expert that they're using to comment on a piece, submit a blog post or article, or be featured in their particular online. Online these days is print. So the old Wall Street Journal, New York Times, like all that stuff now is all online media. I refer to that as the old print, the old traditional way. These are the traditional media sites that still hold very strong brand value. Brand value is critical because it creates certainty when you're going after an event, a media event, going after a speaking event or a new client. There's a certainty factor that plays into everyone's decision. The summary of our clients that have worked with us for years and brands that have grown tremendously over time and today are at the top of their field is that they did have the potential to begin with. They had the right services. They had the right attitude. They had good things in place. All we had to do was grow them, put them out in the right places, and make sure they continued to move their social media in the right direction, build the correct teams around themselves, and not make the mistakes that quickly growing brands can make. One of the mistakes is getting too full of yourself. Like, oh, well, I'm so good now, I don't have to do anything anymore. They're just coming to me like candy from a baby. No, that's not true, and it won't last. You have to consistently stay in your brand building over time and never let it stop. That's the thing. Once you start, you can't stop. That's why I say give yourself Fridays off so you know you can stop at least one day. Do I? A breakdown of what this particular client who is at the top of this field is, what his strategy is. He built himself smart teams. He believes to surround himself with people smarter than himself and hope they don't notice. Now, this is odd because I think this is him being quite humble, actually, where he's actually the smartest person in the room, as he knows what he does well, because he's the rainmaker. He's the one who brings in all the money. And he knows what others do well. He positions his team in the exact areas of their expertise. Critical to remember, only purchase services from people who are experts in their field and can prove it. How hard is it to prove it? I would never sell something I couldn't deliver easily or didn't know in advance. I know in advance what I can deliver. I would never sell that because I know the client's not going to be happy. Also, the important thing about his smart team, and I'm calling it a smart team because it's the opposite of a weak team. So his smart team is on it. They don't get stale themselves. He monitors the action surrounding his brand. He tweaks approaches and listens to forward-moving suggestions from his team. The social media team has a tendency to be younger. Good. They know the venues very well. They don't always know the business model, though. So he always listens to their suggestions with an open mind, of course, and respect. However, he maintains veto power in that it's his brand and he does know best. So if anyone is off-brand due to their inexperience with the firm or in just business in general, he will gently and kindly address the misunderstanding. That's key, too. Gently and kindly. You know, be good to your employees. They'll be very good back to you as well. So to sum it all up, he's an excellent manager of people with just enough hands-on time and direction to allow creativity to expand within that particular smart team. So the question becomes, how do you create a smart team around you? Well, let's go over some other factors that led to this particular client to keep his brand moving and shaking. His brand is robust online on the major social platforms. His posts and tweets are diversified from content-rich, now here's strategy, this is strategy, content-rich to tips and topics leveraging his publicity. Nobody forgets him, and he does not overpost. Once a day is a good rate for him. That's fine, as long as the posts are meaningful to the reader. This creates confidence over time, and when the time is right, again, someone in his area of expertise will hire him, and he'll have no contenders. I have a sample of some of his posts here, and just to give you an idea of how he'll do it. And one was a content-rich one, and he talked about the path to leadership. You know, he goes, you know how challenging it can be to find the right path towards leadership. Here is effective ways to become a strong business leader. And then he'll link back to a post on his site. Again, driving visitorship, driving the numbers back to his site, which is going to impress Google, saying, hey, he's still got it, right? And Google is your best friend. When they like you, they love you, and they return you as one of the top picks on the keyword searches, and you want to be that. So there's many ways everything leads into everything else. I like what this guy did last week. Okay, he put up the video. We booked him on a Fox TV in Dallas, and I really like that he put this up. He goes, here's a video of my interview last week at Fox TV in Dallas about how you can say no to people without feeling like you're letting them down. Now, that's an unusual. Just that topic alone shows a lot of creativity. He has subject matter, and then he has sub-subject matter. This is from the sub-subject matter. His current subject matter has been pitched a million times. He would never get it. Sorry, we just did that. Sorry, we've done it over and over again. So we had to work in sort of the side ideas, and this was a good side idea because it's all about relationships. It's all about how to keep relationships. So he was talking about you want to say no, but you don't want to let people down and then have them, you know, not be invested in you in the future. So that was a great video for this guy, and as it took in one of his subcategories. So you know, whomever you work with should know your main category and know your subcategories as well, and with intention of building them out over time so they can get the bookings. That's where the bookings are now. We have to get into these minute sort of subcategories that are going to attract the attention. So what's the job of the producer? The job of the producer and the journalist, quite frankly, is ratings. At the end of the day, they're going to be valued upon how many ratings they were able to secure for the platform. To do that, they need high-quality original content with a guest that is vetted to be high energy and written excellent for the venue. Because if they're not vetted, they have to answer to their executive producer or their editor, and they have to say, you know, show me the evidence. Why did you book this person that didn't turn out well for our show? And then their job is on the line. So going in, knowing this, you're able to create something that's going to lead to yes. Give them everything they need to yes. Or when you're writing up your pitch, if you're pitching yourself, is to say, you can get more information, you know, on my speaking testimonials here. And then you link the word here to your speaking testimonials. No one's going to click on that because we've all learned you can't click on anyone's links that you don't trust at all, you know, that you don't know. Maybe it's your first time approaching that particular contact. They don't know you. They don't trust you yet. They're unwilling to click on the link because what if it's a bad link? And they poison their computer and they can't afford to be down the rest of the day. He's always giving credit to somebody else, which I love about this gentleman. And he was on a show, a radio show, a big business show. So I can say the name of who he was on. But he says, I joined Jim Blasingame in this recording to report on the amazing success story that has created thousands of his company, you know, assets, you might say, represented over 250,000 members in 70 countries around the world. And then he links to the interview. And in the interview, he gives all the ways that he was able to build that type of organization that is worldwide at this point. And he includes Jim's handle, and he included Jim's logo. So Jim has every reason. I mean, this is all about how great Jim is, basically, and, of course, the client. But he has a lot of reasons to share that particular tweet, giving the original tweeter more power. The more your name shows up in retweets, the more power Google thinks you have, the more authority they feel you have, and the more they're willing to return you as an authority in your area of expertise. So we love that he is very robust online. Another good thing about, you know, creating a strong brand is just that when we've noticed, we just deconstructed this brand and others. He stays healthy, both physically and mentally. He takes time for himself. He gets out into nature. He eats good food. He has good times with loved ones. More of his posts are going to show he and his wife on a trip to New York to celebrate others getting awards. I think that too much stress can only hurt the ones you love, and then your life kind of spirals downward. You can become short-tempered, bogged down and burned out. That reflects in your business success, and you certainly don't want that for yourself. I think everybody's experienced what happens when you try too hard only to get disappointed. Try authentically. Be authentic. Don't even use the word T-R-Y. Just be authentic in everything that you do. Mm-hmm. But have you ever noticed the autoresponders? I love this guy's autoresponders.
Yeah. We work with him on a regular basis, day in and day out, and when we have something for him and he happens to not be around, his autoresponders give you a glimpse into what his life is like. So you email, he's out speaking, he's traveling, he's fishing. You get a nice responder letting you know what he's up to and what he is doing next. For example, he'll say something like, well, I've gone fishing for the long weekend. Out fishing, right? I've gone fishing for the long weekend. But once I am back, I am off to Boston for a business event. So we find that interesting as it represents balance. Annie was just talking about that. It's really important to have balance, not be burnt out, not be stressed. You know, all of that stuff shines through in your brand. So we know the benefits of balance, power, energy, and success. And one of the other things that he does and other brands we've noticed over time do, again, Annie talked a bunch about those media assets and ongoing media presence. That's the thing. It is huge in the strategy of a thriving brand. So, you know, the face of these brands are continuously writing new books, signing up for a radio campaign, several per quarter, asking us to book television, major online media. This way, he continues to gather current media assets that he can use. Again, like Annie just mentioned, example of leveraging the media in social media and all of that. Again, moving and shaking, no dust collecting on this brand. And, you know, it used to be that you needed only a handful of big brand major media. But now that a lot of speakers and experts, they have those big brand media placements as well. So the advantage trend is to stay current as a voice on those media outlets. The playing field has leveled. So now the next level is to continue to be seen and continue to be heard on the media platforms that serve you as an authority. And then, of course, again, you got to let people know. And a good way to leverage those media assets is to build a target email list of the people who can hire you responsibly. We don't want to spam anybody, right? So responsibly tell them what you're doing media-wise, what you have done. Provide a link or a photo of you on the show with a live link to the video post on YouTube. You may not get a lot of clicks. Yeah, who has the time? Annie just, again, talked about how we never know what we're clicking through to, but, you know, you'll get a lot of goodwill. You'll get a lot of good impressions. Your name will gather more influence and more clout, and, right, that's what the brand is all about, right, when you're getting all that influence and clout and staying mm-hmm. on top, right? And all this, of course, all this stuff, all the leveraging of the media assets, everything, it takes time and know-how. And we talked before about a smart team and how this particular case study had built a smart team around him, people that know what they're doing, right? And that's where your smart team will come in, right, Annie?
I agree with that, and because we've seen teams mm-hmm. of all different kinds. There's smart teams, and there's teams that will put you out of business, and I kid you not. I can always tell when a firm's, when somebody's going out of business, because they overhire people on their teams, and they hire the same person numerous times, so I know they're going to wind up infighting. They're going to wind up saying, you should do this, you should do that, and they don't even know business. They graduated in social media or something. They don't know the business model. So I know in advance that that brand is going to be, that's going to be a problem brand down the line. All right, but in this case, though, this didn't happen. These strong brands that withstand the test of time, they know how to hire. So if you're tempted to hire an intern, someone right out of college with a nice degree but no real-world experience, who will inevitably make mistakes, you, of course, have already made in your long and diversified career. This is a strategy that does keep costs down, and you can use it. This is one of realizing that although their educational accomplishments are exceptional, it's time for hands-on business implementation, where each decision they make has consequences and unintended consequences. So they'll need to learn that. This is business 101. I stop in the middle of the day and do a business 101 lesson. When I see someone has to learn a basic principle of business success, I'll stop and do it. What do I care? I want them to know why we're making the choice we're making so they understand why we're making the choice. It's not just me saying, no, I don't like it, I want you to do something else. It's, this is why this doesn't lead to new business, and I'm going to explain why, and I do. Every decision that someone makes on your behalf, keep your eye on things and until they become very good at what they do. So this is where the category of surrounding yourself with those smarter than you can certainly pay off, in that the decisions and why they have not worked in the past, and if nothing has changed, they will, it will not work now. You want others making business choices for you only when you trust that their business choices have been vetted by you in the past. So once you clear a strategy, they don't have to check in with you again and again. You know, that's redundant. So we have some examples here of how some of the bigger firms are using social media, and these will be reviewed over time to see how they're doing. Domino's is another brand winner when it comes to social media. They've come up with some very cool things to keep their millennial audience basically, and, you know, very much involved. I like that Nike has to just do a campaign. They've chosen to feature Colin Kaepernick around because he's sports, and they, and he seems to have an opinion that resonates with their marketplace. That's a little risky to do, but they're willing to do it. They're not afraid to speak up for their causes. If you notice how L'Oreal breaks down their strategy, they use the hashtag Life at L'Oreal. Now, this becomes important because millennials are all about lifestyle and quality of life. They're not about material things. One, because they can't afford them anymore. The material things are so out of reach. So they really do start to rely on just the quality of the experience and the joy that it brings to their heart. So they do want to know what is, and work is a big deal for them, what is it like to work for an organization? And that builds support of their brand. So they have their employees tweet what it's like to work there, which is great. Keeps the brand sharp as well in making sure their employees are really being served appropriately. Lowe's does this, and we do this too. Hashtag, we don't do proud moment, but we do a similar one. They share successful customer experiences. Very good. Taco Bell is also, you know, competing very well in the food space, and they target millennials, which is a smart move. That is their marketplace. So they create things on their social media that speak to the millennials. So again, in social media, sort of know your marketplace. I don't deal with millennials. I deal with a more mature, experienced author, expert, and speaker who wants to grow their business. So that's why all my social media revolves around the needs of that target client. So you'll want to identify your target client and do the same thing. What's the role of marketing and social media in keeping your brand thriving? In addition to leveraging of your media and other social strategies we've already discussed, we want to be sure your social message marketings are authentic to the customer and client's experience. When they do, you want to post similar posts again and again. Remember, posts disappear pretty quickly. That's why you post every single day. You link back to your site so you get the SEO value of Google. Now, Brian asked us a few other questions, and one was, how do others keep you small? Okay, so here's the answer to that. This is interesting, though. Your own employees can keep you small by making mistakes on your brand's behalf without you knowing about it. For example, when employees no longer care enough to follow company guidelines, cut corners, and don't provide your customer or client base with the deliverables promised, that can hurt your brand. because what's really going to happen is you're going to get a bad post, a bad review, and social media can make or break companies. Reviews on social media can kill your brand. But the thing is that the owner of the company never really knows about what's happening in some areas of their business. So that means that there just has to be a little more direction, a little more hands-on knowledge by the owner of that company. Not following customer or client trends. Offering the same old without realizing your customer or business has changed over time. This can keep you small. So if your brand is consistent with the trends and people feel good about working with you at the end of the day, that is what you want to accomplish. So how do your current clients define, limit, or expand your future opportunities? I think bad clients limit your expansion. So stop them before they sign on. No, critical people, okay? Here is how to avoid signing them in the first place. So you ask, what are your goals? If they match your deliverables, you know, to clients coming in, bingo, you're a good fit. If not, now here's where it gets dicey, and this is where you need to protect your brand. You will know these types of clients when you interact with them. You let them know that their anticipated deliverables is not one that you can offer, and ask them to continue their search for the right company. Now, how polite is that? And there's a reason for it. You don't deliver the outcomes they're looking for. An example is going to be somebody who says, I only want book sales. I only want to be a New York Times bestseller. Bingo. I love this. I love when somebody's willing to be honest with me up front, because then I get to say, all right, it's not the deliverable that I can promise you with our campaign. However, if you continue your search for the right publicist, you'll find one that may be able to make those promises to you. And then they thank me. They say how wonderful it is. I'm willing to say no when I can't deliver something. And it's all wonderful because they know that actually they didn't waste their time, money, and I didn't lie to them. I didn't say, oh, I can do something I couldn't do. And that's good, because if you start to do things like that, be inauthentic in your offering just to get the sale, you're going to wind up going out of business as a brand. You have to take the stand that I will only sell what I can deliver, and if I can't deliver, I will move on. So good opportunities open doors to other opportunities for you. They recommend you to others. They always say good things about your firm, especially if they have experienced other firms and with the same services that you've perfected over time, and they're going to prefer to work with you. The business savvy is you. You are always ahead of your branding team. The weak teams are the kinds that have just lost the intensity of you being successful. With a smart team, you want to create a learning curve, one that is accountable as well. So sure, they can make a mistake. There's no problem. People make mistakes. But ones that really hurt your reputation and your ability to attract and secure business or speaking opportunities, those are the ones that definitely going to need the direction from you. So with any mistake in business made by anyone you employ, at the end of the day, who is the biggest loser? It's you. Because you are the one that suffers and not the employee. They still get paid even though their decision fell short and lacked business savvy. Since we know that business savvy is not learned overnight, seriously, it's not. It takes time. It's good to implement that let's get an all clear from the boss rule first before we go ahead and take any chances, you know, with his or her brand, okay? You also get a chance to catch a mistake before it can happen and the opportunity to say, great job, should it really and truly be a great job. I find honesty is the best policy. I ask my employees if they would mind if I were direct with them when I was commenting on something and didn't have to dance around and, you know, with the languaging. You're doing a great job, but I'd really like to see this, you know, that you can do that if you want to. My management style is, would you mind if I was simply direct in my praise as well as things I think you can do better? And then people know in advance, well, she's going to be direct. It doesn't mean she doesn't like me. She's going to tell me directly. And quite frankly, they grow to appreciate it because I'm answering the question, what would you like me to do better? Right? I'm not dancing around that question. If they want to do better, I'll tell them how. And then they're going to know how to do better. So you're not giving a mixed message. People hate millennials, especially. They can't stand mixed messages. You tell it to them like it is, but let them know in advance you're going to tell it to them like it is. With all due respect, you know, this is just feedback, but it's going to be valuable to you in expanding your career, your potential, and your business. So teaching your staff how to think like a business pro can only help you. And you can do these quick learning sessions when the situations arise where you can say, hey, let's take out a business 101 and very quickly go over the thought process involved in that particular situation. Discuss the principles and concerns prior, you know, and anything negative that has happened in the past. So you have to watch a team. Once it gets too big, it can get out of control. And that's how it can hurt your brand, Brian, as you said, you know, how can clients either make or break your brand? So now, what is the breakthrough point where you really are a big brand? This is how you know. You are a big brand when you have influence, you have clout, and you have thought leadership. You're not copying others at all. You are setting the forward-moving mindset that will help everyone in the industry grow their businesses and get better at what they do. People come to you for answers. You land the speaking events. You get the media opportunities. Your social media is robust and appealing to several different types of customers. And finally, here is what makes you a really big brand. All right, you're going to love it. Stacey, drum roll.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what makes you a really big brand is this. You care. Everyone in your firm cares. And that's how you know you are a big brand. And here's how this came to be. A big member of the media called me recently, like out of the blue. And I answered the phone. You know why? Because I can. That's my job. My job is to answer the phone. So a big member of the media was on the phone. I said, whoa, okay, hi. And she said, you know, I just wanted to tell you that I love working with your firm. There's not many. She said this. She goes, there's not many of your style firm out there anymore. And the reason I like working with you so much is because every touch point with your company is with somebody who actually cares. And she says the other firms just don't care anymore. Now, I think these other firms don't know how to approach the media in a meaningful and valuable way, or their clients perhaps. And it appears that they don't care. When they really do, they just don't know how to show it. So I think caring in terms of our publicity industry is why I'm a top brand, because I've never stopped caring about my clients. I'm an author advocate, and as I know, and that plays out in the media as well, because I'll create authors that the media can actually book. And I think there's so many new people entering the marketplace, that relearning how to be a great guest, how to write a great press release, how to treat the media etiquette is all important and very, very, very valuable, all right, to these new firms coming in and these new authors taking their place in society and these new brands wanting to grow their speaking careers. So you'll notice on our website, Annie Jennings PR, we have a lot of real stories in our navigation bar. It's a great place for you to start learning what others have experienced in working with us and growing their brand. The nice part about these real stories are you get to hear the authors themselves, the speakers themselves, tell how it worked for them in terms of becoming a big brand. And one very important mindset that one of our biggest brands, actually our most successful brands, has on his resume is that he was able to secure a paid position as a media correspondent on one of the big networks. And this was his goal. He said, this is what I want. I said, okay, let's take a look. We looked at everything he had. I said, okay, it's possible for you. Here's what we have to do. We mapped out the plan. He signed off on the plan, and he never once deviated from the plan, even when I thought he would get tired of the plan. Somewhere in the middle, this is where a client would say, I'm tired of the plan. It's not going to work. He kept saying, the plan's going to work. I signed off on it. It's going to work. I have confidence in the plan. And guess what? Sure enough, today he is a paid contributor for one of the top networks in the entire industry. So that's why I say, develop a plan if it's well thought out and doesn't need tweaks along the way. Stay with it. It's going to work for you in the end. So thank you, right, everyone, yes, for coming to our presentation today. We loved having you, you know, on the call. And Brian, I don't know if you have a way for people to suggest topics they would like to hear from us. We're happy to discuss everything PR, that's for sure.
Anybody wants to send in any topics, just go to support.speakermatch.com. All the ways to reach us can be found there. Just send your suggestion in.
Perfect.